Good morning. Great to share with you this morning as we come around God's Word and we lean again to what does it mean to live justly, to live like Jesus in a broken world. My eldest boy, ever since he's been born, has really had that kind of spirit of adventure in his life. He's always loved to kind of push the edges in extreme ways. I remember as a little child that, even at 5 and 6 and 7, he'd want to go on the kind of scary adult rides, you know. Dad, can we go on that giant roller coaster? Dad, can we go on the Tower of Terror or the giant drop? And I was always thankful that he had younger brothers and sisters around him, because I could always say, you do that, son. I'll look after the little kids. It worked for a while until he could see right through me. And he's kind of carried that with him, that adventurous spirit into his young adult life as he's kind of travelled the world. And he'll send me back a photo from, in a village in Southeast Asia. Dad, I'm trying deep fried tarantulas. They're really good, crunchy, tasty. Then he recently was in South America. And he would send me each week kind of a bit of an itinerary of what he was doing. Dad, this week I'm doing a walk through Ecuador. And I'd Google the walk. It would say, this is one of the world's most dangerous walks. Please ensure you carry rocks to throw at wild dogs. Watch out for kidnappers, bandits and robbers. And so a week later I was glad to hear from him after he came back from the walk. And then more recently he sent me another message and said, Dad, I'm going to do a bike ride on the North Yankun Road in Bolivia. And I thought, that sounds pretty tame, a nice bike ride. Then I Googled the North Yankun Road. It is better known, as the Road of Death. It's considered the world's most dangerous road. But he just said, I'm riding the North Yankun Road. 65 kilometres downhill from La Paz to Corica in Bolivia. 600 metre drops to the bottom. Only guardrails on 5% of the road. Just enough for one car to fit through. And people have decided, like my boy, that it's an extreme, exciting adrenaline rush to ride a bike down that road on the gravel as fast as you can go. There it is. And you thought driving into Vision Drive and getting a car park was challenging today. That's extreme driving. He can have it as far as I'm concerned. You know, whenever you mention the Road of Death, whenever you mention the North Yankun Road across South America or in backpackers' hostels across the world, people automatically know what that road stands for. They know that it stands for danger, for risk, and for adrenaline. 2,000 years ago, Jesus told a story, a very familiar story that we're going to open up this morning with that prayer, come Holy Spirit, speak to us afresh with that story this morning. And whether you're here in our service at Crossway or whether you're watching on Facebook or online, my prayer would be that we'd allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate us afresh as we open up this story. Because Jesus intentionally places the story on another dangerous road. And just like we mentioned the Road of Death and people know in what that means in South America, Jesus talks about the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, a 17-mile downhill strip through rocky terrain known for bandits and robbers and kidnappers. It was called the Way of the Blood. And as Jesus opens up this story, straight away we get this context of risk, of danger. And Jesus will go on to position the key character in this story that we might learn something about what is it to live like Jesus in the midst of brokenness. The passage opens in Luke 10. Many of you will know it well. One day an expert in the religious law stood to test Jesus. He didn't come to ask him a sincere question, but to try to trap Jesus, to test him. He says, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says to him, well, I think you know the answer. What does the law say? How do you read it? And the man replies, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Without even knowing it, the man has begun to build a trap around him. Because Jesus says, right, do this and you'll live. And suddenly the man himself And the self-righteous religious leaders were struck by the fact that they didn't love God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength. They weren't living that perfect life. And so trapped, the man tries to find a way out by asking another question, to rationalize, to justify his situation. He says, well, tell me, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus, so masterfully, as he does so often in the Gospels, Jesus reframes the story and he tells this most scandalous story. And it's hard for us 2,000 years on to really, I guess, get inside the story and see how scandalous it was of the day about what does it look like to live like Jesus, to be Christ-like in a broken world. Jesus goes on. A Jewish man was traveling on that road, on the way of the blood, on the Jerusalem to Jericho road. And as expected, he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and I love this phrase, they left him half dead by the road. Not quite sure how you measure half dead, but there he was, bloodied and beaten in the ditch by the side of the road. Jesus intentionally sets this story against the context of brokenness, a picture that was known to his listeners. That road was called a strip of suffering. And here we see in the ditch a beaten Jewish man, a sign of brokenness, a symbol of brokenness for us today. Who could that person be in our culture? It might be a young mum escaping domestic violence in need of the women's centre at Life Care. Could be a middle-aged unemployed man with crippling gambling and alcohol debts. Could be a self-harming teenager torn apart after family breakdown and the devastation that goes with that. Could be a young Indigenous boy yearning for home, in and out of home care, longing for belonging. Could be an older woman left homeless. You know, in Australia today, the fastest rate of homelessness is women over 55 without a place to call home. It could be a young couple in the grip of addiction. Could be a young man living with the stigma of a complex mental health need, finding it hard to do life day by day. I love this quote. We all know what it's like to be in a ditch of despair. I certainly do. Many of you here will relate to that. What is it like to be broken and in that ditch of despair? And what does this great quote say? Maybe not like the dead man, the half-dead man lying, the Jewish man lying by the road, but struggling with life and bereft of hope. We all know brokenness, and thank God others were there to meet us in our ditch and bandage us with love and hope. And we are called to be there for others. We go around this room today, and many of you will be able to tell the story of that person, that man, that woman, a family member, a trusted friend, someone from the Crossway community, someone who reached out and showed you the love of Jesus in the midst of brokenness in your ditch and got you back up on your feet, just like Life Care and Coach do every day. And the challenge for you and I, as ordinary people with the mission of God in our hands at Crossway, in a beautiful but broken world, to do the same thing, to be Christ-like people in a broken world. And so the challenge for us today, to ask ourselves these kind of big examining questions. Are my eyes open today to brokenness around me? In the busyness of life, whether we're here in Melbourne or around the globe, in the busyness of life, with the pressures of family and work and other things, even all the good things in our life, are our eyes open to brokenness around us? Do we reflect a Christ-like attitude when it comes to responding to broken people in our midst? And here's the challenge. We're not just called to just activity. We're called to a just lifestyle. There's a big difference. We're not just called to simple Good Samaritan acts. You know, my dad is, a God-fearer. He hasn't been in church for many, many years. Doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. He's 80, and he goes to lots of funerals to become kind of a social event in his life. And as he goes to a funeral, he'll often get on the phone to me and he'll say, it wasn't a very good funeral. They didn't sing hymns, they didn't open the Bible, they didn't pray. He's got that still a sense of attachment to what is kind of religious or right in his life. But he'll often say, I've done my Good Samaritan act for the week. Jesus doesn't want us to do good Samaritan acts. Jesus wants us to live with a just lifestyle. He wants his ethics, his values, his priorities to be a part and parcel of who we are. Look at these challenges in Proverbs. Proverbs 29:7. The godly care about the broken. The wicked don't care at all. And this next one from Proverbs 28 that I felt quite challenged by my own journey again this week. Evil people don't understand God's heart for justice, but those who follow the Lord understand it completely. Just pause and think about that. By my very nature, as a sinful, selfish human being, I won't respond to injustice like God wants me to. But as the Holy Spirit keeps chipping away at me, as the Holy Spirit keeps molding me and shaping me into a person who looks and thinks more like Jesus, then more and more brokenness and injustice, my eyes will be open to see it before me, and I'll be more and more like Christ. We need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives today if we're to live justly in a broken world. And Heather's challenge from last week, the Lord has shown you what is good. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. What are we called to? We're called to imitation. Our senior pastor's already reminded us of that this morning, that front and center at the core of Life Care, because it's at the core of Crossway, is Jesus. Jesus. I'm privileged to serve on this team, and at the core of what we do, it's imitating and reflecting Jesus. That's our challenge. That's our mandate. When we did our generosity series recently, we said, how will we become more generous? How will we become more open-handed in a tight-fisted world as we imitate Jesus? How will I live more justly, more appropriately in a broken world as more and more I reflect the very heart of Jesus? And here it is, Crossway. Here's where we need to grab hold of that concept of imitation. Because here's Jesus telling the story. And here's the religious leaders feeling pretty self-important around him. And Jesus intentionally positions two religious people walking down the road. And in the Jewish mindset, surely they would be the people who would imitate the heart of God. But Jesus turns their world upside down. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side and passed him by. And then a temple assistant, another religious person, came along and he looked at him lying there, but he also passed by. And then the scandalous aspect of this story. Then a despised Samaritan. That's not what the Jewish listeners that day expected to hear. Then a despised Samaritan. They called them mutts. The Jewish people called them mutts. They were seen as half-breeds with a warped kind of theology. They were hated by the Jews. They were pushed to the margins. But who comes along? A despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he had compassion on him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took on that Jerusalem to Jericho road, that risky road, walking with the man on his donkey, and he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay the next time I'm here. And suddenly this theologian, this religious leader, is wishing he'd never opened his mouth. He's wishing he'd never tried to trap Jesus, because Jesus then looks at the theologian and says, now which of these would you say was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by the bandits? And the man has no choice. The one who showed him mercy, the Samaritan, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, now you go and do the same. Crossway, whether you're watching online, anywhere around the world today, that's the same call for you and I. Now go and do the same. In a broken world, in a beautiful world, but a broken world, you and I are called to be at the hands and feet of Jesus. It's at the heartbeat of what Life Care and Coach do each day. Now you go and do the same. A call to imitation. So what does Christ-like compassion look like? Let's remind ourselves this morning, Christ-like compassion sees the other. This month, we're celebrating 50 years since the death of Martin Luther King Jr. When you start to remember celebrating kind of 50th anniversaries of things, it reminds you you're getting a little older yourself in terms of the years. Martin Luther King, in his great mountaintop speech, said this about this great story. The first question the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stop to help the man, what will happen to me? But the Samaritan came along and reversed the question, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? That's profound. That's life transforming in how we live like Jesus. We all know there's a need and we feel a call to respond to that need, but everything inside us might say, it's too hard, or what will it cost me, or what will it mean for me? Compared to there's that need. If I don't respond, what will happen to that person in the ditch? A few years back, when I was in Newcastle, Baptist Care was awarded a whole lot of funding to try to reduce homelessness across New South Wales, a really hand-up program going out in the community in situ, finding people in parks, under bridges, in squats, and trying to help them with an integrated range of services to break free from homelessness. It was a few days before Christmas, and a couple of our team members came to me and said, we found a brother and a sister in a park, sleeping rough in Newcastle. She is only a couple of days away from giving birth to a child. But they're Kiwi citizens. They don't qualify for the program. They don't qualify for any funding. We can't put a roof over their head tonight. And government services were kind of closing down for Christmas. As I heard that story, over a cup of coffee, shared it with Megan. Everything inside us was reminded of another no room in the inn story. Christmas was coming. We quickly rearranged our garage and put some beds and some dividers into the garage and set up a makeshift kind of family room for them. And our kids still talk about this story today. One of the greatest joys for us was that Christmas, was to see a beautiful, healthy baby born. With Megan, a midwife and an emergency nurse, holding this young woman's hands. And recently we saw that child, now about 5 years of age. And we were reminded afresh, yes, we could have looked at that situation and thought, it is all too hard, particularly at Christmas. And it was pretty hard. It was pretty challenging. But thank God we were able to say, but what if we don't respond to that need? What if we don't respond to that need? We're called to see like Jesus. And sometimes that will be easy, but sometimes that will be very hard. Christ-like compassion calls us to look beyond fear, beyond prejudice, beyond discomfort. It calls us to look beyond short-term political thinking or what the shock jocks might say about certain groups of people in our society, like asylum seekers. It calls us to look beyond fear. Not to put ourselves intentionally into silly and dangerous situations, but to look beyond fear, to look beyond prejudice, to look beyond discomfort, that we might see like Jesus. And Christ-like compassion feels like Jesus. There's no mistake that Luke positions this story where he does. In Luke 7, the passage I spoke about in January when we spoke about life-transforming scriptures, we read that wonderful story where Jesus comes to the town of Nain. And there is the woman who has lost her husband and is now lost her only son. And Jesus sees the woman, and the scripture says he had compassion upon her. In the Greek, it's far more powerful, that Jesus guts, that Jesus bowels, are moved with love and compassion for the woman. You know what? That same word is used here. The same word is used here of a Samaritan who goes to the Jewish man in the ditch, and his gut is moved like Jesus for the need of that man around him. That's our challenge. To see like Jesus, but to feel like Jesus. And it may be this morning, in the busyness of our world, in the affluence of our culture, with all the good things that are happening in our lives, it may be, if we're honest and transparent, it may be our challenge to pray this prayer. Soften my heart, Lord. In the last service, I had someone come down who's involved in a leadership role in our church and who simply said, can you pray that prayer for me because I need my heart softened for broken people around me. Help me to feel as you feel. Or the prayer of the founder of World Vision, the building opposite us. Break my heart, Lord, with the things that break the hearts of God. We're called to see like Jesus, to see the other. We're called to feel like Jesus with a gut that is moved with compassion. We're called to get our hands dirty. We're called to do something about it, to actively engage in the need before us. Not every need, but the needs that Jesus puts before us. Look at the verbs here. The Samaritan man, he went to him. He bandaged him. He poured oil and wine on him. He put him on his donkey. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him. Active engagement. He didn't simply walk along and pull a few coins out of his pocket and throw them into the ditch, but he got his hands dirty. He used his hands and his feet. And he literally, in a great metaphor for us today, he provides a hand up, because Jesus always does that. A hand up. And that's the heartbeat, as our senior pastor has said, about Life Care and Coach, a great distinctive of that ministry, that we want to not just be about handouts, but about hands up, transforming people's lives one day at a time. And let's not lose sight of this. He valued partnership. He realized he couldn't do it all on his own. Just like we're about to partner with the Salvation Army in a wonderful expression in Dandenong of gospel partnership, so the Samaritan man needed the innkeeper. They needed each other. They worked in partnership. Today, it could be a step for you to lean into Coach or to lean into Life Care. It could be supporting a Christian organization like Baptist World Aid on the other side of the world. It could be your life group, your family, your friends who join together in partnership to make a difference in the lives of broken people. To see the other like Jesus sees. To feel like Christ feels. To actively engage and get our hands dirty in a broken world. To be willing to invest. It could be an investment that not only transforms someone else's life, but it could transform your own. An hour or two a week, joining the great team that Toby and the others head up with Coach, a time investment. It could be financial, a financial investment to support the great work of Life Care or Coach. It could be some other resource investment, signing up to be in the Women's Centre to make a difference in the lives of women escaping domestic violence. It requires engagement. It requires investment. I love this quote from J.H. Jowett. It's written in the front of the Bible that I was given at Bel Air Baptist when I first went to Bible college. And it says, love that costs nothing means nothing. I'm struck by the fact that when you invest in the lives of broken people, in fact, you're a better person for what they teach you and give you. There are far better compensations, but it will cost you. Every day as you get your hands dirty in brokenness, you won't be walking around thinking, this is a bed of roses. There will be hard days, but love that costs nothing means nothing. And Christ-like compassion not only helps the individual in the ditch, it not only gives a hand up, it actually becomes a voice in transforming the community around us. That's what Jesus calls us to. We see in this passage. This passage is so countercultural because the Samaritan's actions challenge the very systems of the day. Samaritans don't care for Jews. Jews don't get help from Samaritans. Jesus tells the story so powerfully, and I imagine people repeated it and told it again and again and again because it challenged the systems of the day. And Crossway, or wherever you're watching across the globe. And some people will be watching this message today and they live with injustice simply by turning up as a Christian day by day. They live with persecution. But we're called to challenge injustice. When we support women in the Women's Center, we don't just support beautiful women to get a new start in life, but we say no as a church to domestic and family violence in all its forms. When we support homeless men doing it tough, we don't just support that individual male who needs a hand up, but we say in a country like ours, 100,000 Australians shouldn't be homeless today. And that's not an issue of politics or what side of the political fence you're on. It's speaking into our world and saying, where there is injustice, Jesus' people need to be heard. And my hunch is we need to be heard more than ever. Because if we're not heard, someone else takes up the agenda. We're called to be Jesus' people. It's the heartbeat of Life Care and Coach to address injustice in a broken world. Let me finish today with a story behind the painting that you see on the screen. One of my heroes of the faith for me is a Catholic pastor, teacher, theologian, author, poet, writer, a man of many hats, Henri Nouwen, or Henri Nouwen, depending on your French. Henri Nouwen was kind of known across the Catholic world in particular, but the broader church world, particularly as a great thinker, theologian, and a leader. But he came to a point in his life where he was experiencing a void, where he sensed that he wasn't experience the love of God that he experienced in the past. He wasn't feeling the compassion of Jesus that he experienced in the past. And he made a radical life decision. He chose to relocate to Vancouver in Canada and live in a residential community, to live in a residential Christian community, living with men and women with profound physical, emotional, and mental health challenges. And you know what he said? They changed his life. They changed his life. Suddenly, he experienced afresh the love of God. Suddenly, with new eyes, he saw the dignity of humanity. Suddenly, with a fresh spirit, he wanted to serve those in need. He would still travel the world and speak. He was invited to conferences, and he wouldn't ask for a five-star hotel or a big conference speaking fee. But what he said is, every time I go to a conference, I want you to pay for one of the residents of the community to come with me. Henri Nouwen coined this beautiful phrase, a wounded healer. In Crossway, wherever you're watching across the world today, that's who we are. We're called to be wounded healers. I love the picture. It is so dear to me. As one who knows brokenness in my own life, as one who's been in the ditch, to know the love of others and the love of Jesus. And what is grace? Grace bandages us up. Grace picks us up on our feet. Grace heals us. Grace gives us a fresh start. But we still carry around those wounds, but we're healed by Christ. And Nouwen says, Henri Nouwen says, we're called to a broken world as wounded healers. What a lovely picture. And so here he is, he's speaking at a conference in America, a packed auditorium like this, to doctors and nurses and health professionals. And there, sitting on this last seat, is Tommy Smeltzer, a man who had grown up with profound physical, mental, and emotional challenges. Henri Nouwen finishes his talk, gets a standing ovation. Everyone on the platform had been at the microphone that day. And Tommy Smeltzer thinks, I haven't had my turn. And so, when there's a pause in proceedings, suddenly, Tommy Smeltzer hobbles to the microphone. And the MC looks down at Henri Nouwen. It's like, what will we do here, right now? And they pause. And Tommy Smeltzer comes to the microphone. And he says, Hello, everyone. My name is Tommy Smeltzer. Thank you for having me today. And he hobbles back to his seat. And there's standing ovation across the auditorium. There isn't a dry eye in the building. And as they go to fly home that night, as they get to the top of the stairs of the aircraft, Tommy Smeltzer taps Henry on the shoulder and says, "Henry, we did the conference together." And Henry looks at Tommy and says, "Tommy, yes, we did it together." When I first moved back to Newcastle with Baptist Care, wanting to get my hands dirty with people doing it tough in a broken world, I was managing a small little cleaning and mowing business. I never thought I'd be doing that. And we employed 33 men and women with profound psychiatric illness. It was a challenge every day. And someone stood there with a can of Coke and a cigarette with a petrol mower in front of them. But you know, I look back on my journey now and I see how God placed me there, that I would learn the most valuable life lesson, that it's not me and them, but it's us. Someone broken, a wounded healer, seeking to bring the same hope and love into someone else's life, with as much for that person to teach me as I have to help them. And there I was, doing a barbecue for the team. And the smoke's billowing. And I've got one of the young guys, Jason, who all his life had lived with the stigma of mental health. And he's cooking with me. And the smoke's billowing. And he's kind of crying. And I'm saying to him, "Jason, get out of the smoke. And then your eyes won't be affected." And he looks at me and he says, "Scott, I'm not crying because of the smoke. I'm crying because no one's ever asked me to cook a barbecue before." And you know, every time I pick up a pair of tongs at a barbie, I think of Jason. And I think of the privilege of doing life together with people doing it tough. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, send us out today. Send us out today with a fresh sense of our unique call to make a difference in the lives of individuals one by one by one, in our community or in the communities across the globe where people may be watching today. Send us out with that fresh revelation. Send us out with that fresh calling, that each and every one of us has a role to play in helping people in tough places flourish. And more than that, that it's our absolute privilege to do that, because we get to reflect the love and heart of Jesus, and you teach us so much then about ourselves that we're better people for the experience. Shake us in our comfort zones. Beckon us by grace. Allow us to step into new territory. Allow us to be the wounded healers you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.